Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Lauren with NOAA. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you and good morning. I'm Lauren Gaches with NOAA Communications, and a few items of housekeeping before we begin. Today, you'll hear from Dr. Jerry Bell, lead seasonal hurricane forecaster at NOAA's Climate Prediction Center, who will deliver NOAA's updated 2019 Atlantic hurricane season outlook. Dr. Bell and his team issued the initial preseason outlook in May, and they update the outlook every year in early August as the peak months of the season get underway. A news release with infographics will be posted on NOAA.gov. And following Dr. Bell's brief remarks, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions about the outlook. If you have additional questions or questions on other topics, please contact me at lauren.gaches@noaa.gov. That's lauren.gaches@noaa.gov. Or you can also reach me by phone at 301-683-1327 after the conclusion of today's call. And I would now like to invite Dr. Bell to present the updated outlook.
Thank you, Lauren, and thank you everyone for joining the call. The Atlantic hurricane season officially runs from June through November. So far this year, there have been two named storms, and one of those, Barry, became a hurricane that struck Louisiana in July. We are now in the peak months of the Atlantic hurricane season, August through October. Historically, this is when about 95% of all Atlantic hurricanes and major hurricanes form, and this is why we issue an updated outlook each year in early August. And now to the updated outlook. Current and predicted oceanic and atmospheric conditions now indicate a higher likelihood, a 45% chance, of an above normal season, and a reduced likelihood, a 20% chance, of below normal activity. In the May outlook, we had indicated equal 30% chances of an above normal and below normal season. Now, an above normal season has the highest chance of occurring, whereas the May outlook indicated that near normal activity was most likely. But whether or not the activity is above normal or near normal, it means the season has the potential to be very dangerous. We are now predicting the following likely ranges of activity for the entire hurricane season. These ranges are 10 to 17 named storms, of which 5 to 9 are expected to become hurricanes, and 2 to 4 of those could become major hurricanes. And these ranges include the two named storms to date. The total number of named storms and hurricanes has increased from the May outlook, while the number of major hurricanes stays the same. However, some of those hurricanes and major hurricanes could be longer and stronger than was predicted in May, because atmospheric wind patterns are expected to be more hospitable to storm formation. Now, remember that NOAA's hurricane season outlook is a general guide to the overall activity. It does not predict landfalling storms. And this is because whether or not a storm strikes land is determined by the weather patterns that are in place as the storm approaches. And those weather patterns are generally not predictable until about 5 to 7 days in advance. Turning now to the science behind the outlook, NOAA's hurricane outlooks have a firm scientific foundation, which includes rigorous analysis of how oceanic and atmospheric conditions are set up to influence storm development, and also of how these conditions are likely to evolve through the season. We are increasing our prediction for a number of reasons. In general, the observed and predicted oceanic and atmospheric conditions are now more hospitable for hurricane formation and intensification. Also, weather and climate models are now indicating the possibility of a more active season. The main reason is NOAA is announcing today that the El Nino, which has been in place since January, has now dissipated. Back in May, the hurricane outlook reflected a 60% chance of El Nino continuing through the August to October period. El Nino usually suppresses hurricanes, but now that it's dissipated, we're expecting conditions to be more favorable for storm development through the rest of the season. That said, El Niño-related wind patterns often persist even after it fades, and these will at least partially offset the more enhancing conditions now in place, although not to the extent we had predicted in May. Those enhancing conditions are associated with the ongoing high-activity era and have been producing stronger hurricane seasons since 1995. They include a stronger West African monsoon, weaker wind shear across the tropical Atlantic Ocean, and wind patterns coming off of Africa that can more easily spin up storms. In closing, it's important to remember that the hurricane season outlook is not only about the numbers. It's very much about preparedness. And this is especially so since we are now in the peak 3 months of the hurricane season. Regardless of the predicted activity, it only takes one storm to have catastrophic impacts on lives and communities. Please help us share the message that coastal and inland residents need to get ready now, before a storm threatens. Everyone should know their risk, have a plan, and be prepared. And we really encourage people to visit the website ready.gov for helpful tips to plan ahead for any tropical storm or hurricane. And now I'll be glad to take questions about the outlook.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone, unmute your line, and speak your name clearly when prompted. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment as we wait for any questions. Our first question comes from Steph Bornstein from AP.
Yes, thank you. Good to talk to you again, Jerry. In terms of the changes from May, is it only El Niño, or are you seeing any changes in any of the other indicators like the West African monsoon, you know, wind patterns off Africa, wind shear? Is it, in other words, has other El Niño was obviously dead. Have there been changes in the other other indicators? Thank you.
Sure. The answer is yes. As you go through the hurricane season, as we go through June and July and into August, conditions across the tropical Atlantic generally become more conducive overall. Now, with the ongoing high activity era that we've been in, we see these more conducive conditions, extra conducive, like stronger West African monsoon, weaker shear, more favorable winds than that, and those patterns have been developing. We had predicted them to develop in May. They are developing as we had predicted, and so that's just more confidence that the season could produce quite a bit of activity. So right now there's competing factors. El Niño's competing with those more conducive conditions. We expect the El Niño impacts to progressively fade as we go through the season.
So I guess what I'm wondering about is, have those non-ENSO conditions, you forecast them and they're just about what you're forecasting. So they haven't. Is it fair to say they're not stronger than you would forecast? Your forecasts are just coming.
We predict. I don't know how to answer that. We predicted the West African soon to be stronger than average, the weaker wind shear, and so on. They're pretty much what we had expected. And we expected them to be sufficiently strong to produce more activity. So I'd say overall, they're pretty much what we had expected.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question comes from John Schwartz with the New York Times. Your line is open.
Thanks. Hi, folks. I'm just wondering what you're seeing. You mentioned broadly atmospheric and oceanic conditions. What are you seeing in terms of ocean water temperatures both in the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico? And how does that correlate with what we know now about climate change?
Well, the Atlantic ocean temperatures, tropical Atlantic ocean temperatures are about a half a degree Fahrenheit warmer than average if you look across the whole region. We were predicting those ocean temperatures to remain about a half a degree Fahrenheit above average as we go through August, September, October. I don't know how the departures are in the Gulf of Mexico right now. That's really not a factor as far as the seasonal hurricane activity in itself, because you typically, you can have very active seasons with no activity in the Gulf of Mexico. Those ocean temperatures come more important when you actually get a system in the Gulf, and that's when we look much more carefully at those temperatures, but they're not, it's not really a factor right now. Overall, as far as the causes of the warming, we've had warmer Atlantic temperatures, especially relative to the rest of the global tropics, since 1995. That pattern is typical of this high activity era for Atlantic hurricanes we've been in. It's associated with a stronger West African monsoon, weaker wind shear. It's really a whole set, it's part of the whole set of conditions that are associated with these patterns that last historically anywhere from 25 to 40 years at a time, that produce more activity and then less activity. Since 1995, we've been in the more activity, the higher activity pattern, and it's not just related to Atlantic Ocean temperatures. Again, it's a whole set of conditions, interrelated conditions.
And so is there anything you can say about a potential role of climate change in any of this? I realize that, that there are long-term current changes and cycles.
Well, the global ocean temperatures have been warming through the last century. Certainly the Atlantic has been, but it's much more than just the Atlantic Ocean temperatures, as I was mentioning, that we look at. Just the temperatures in themselves are really not very telling as far as what the hurricane season's going to bring. It's really this whole set of atmospheric conditions that we see. And global warming does not produce that set of atmospheric conditions that we see. Global warming actually for the Atlantic produces increased wind shear, and that's why they think it could actually reduce the number of storms, but maybe result in fewer, stronger storms. But the models are showing that global warming signals are not producing these multi-decadal patterns that we see. And that makes it very difficult for the Atlantic to try and pull out what a global warming signal on hurricanes may be, and it's because these other climate patterns are so strong and really dominate the hurricane record if you go all the way back to last, you know, back to the 1800s.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. Our next question comes from Matthew Tapucci with the Washington Post. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for taking the question. I'm wondering when this period of current quiescence will start to taper down. In other words, I know it's been a rather quiet season so far, and the euro shows very little over the next couple of weeks. Is there an inflection point you're forecasting at some point in the season, or is that something that we just can't really tell at this point?
No, no inflection point at all. Typically, you only see one or two named storms during June and July. August, September, October are when the conditions overall are favor hurricane activity. That's why, by far, the vast bulk of the hurricanes we see occur during August, September, October. So seeing little activity during July, June, July is really irrelevant as far as the season goes. Back to the broader question of how long is this high activity era going to last, we don't know. Historically, they've lasted anywhere from 25 to 40 years. Conditions that we've seen just in the last 3 years, each one has been very active Atlantic season. We're seeing those same conditions again this year. So at least through this year, it does not look like that high activity era is fading. But we don't know how long it'll last.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Brian Sullivan with Bloomberg News. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hey, Jerry, I was just wondering if you have any indication, like where the Bermuda High is set up, if there's maybe the East Coast or the Gulf Coast is favored for strikes this year, or is it just too hard to tell right now?
Yeah, it's too hard to tell. We don't make seasonal landfall predictions because, again, where the storm strikes, how many storms strike, how strong they are when they strike, all those factors depend on the exact weather conditions that are in place as the storm is approaching, and those patterns are just not predictable this far in advance. So we don't make a seasonal landfall prediction. Regardless of the outlook, we know storms strike both the Atlantic coast and Gulf Coast. So hurricane residents, both coastal and inland residents, you need to prepare for every hurricane season because some of these long tracking storms can, you know, easily impact millions and millions of people, even well inland from where they make landfall.
Our next question comes from Margaret Orr with WDSU-TV New Orleans. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. Doctor, I'm curious. We've had a lot of Saharan dust, and I think that kind of helps things out. Do you see that continuing or diminishing? Thank you.
Sure. That's a good question. We get to ask this a lot. The Saharan dust can, if it's really not a factor. Typically, the more important factor would be that the dust is embedded within a very hot layer of a very dry Saharan African air that comes off of Africa, and it's that dry air that increases the atmospheric stability and make it harder for storms to form, typically for a very specific storm. But for the seasons as a whole, there's periods where dry air comes off of Africa, and then there's periods where extremely warm, moist tropical air can get way up into the tropical Atlantic. And then that type of period would favor a burst of activity. So, no, the Saharan dust really isn't an issue as far as the seasonal outlook goes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Our next question comes from Joe Marducci with the Press of Atlantic City. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Bell. Thanks for being here this morning. My question for you is, in terms of development, are we expecting these storms to mostly come out of cold fronts that kind of spin up in the southeast or off the southeast United States and move away from land or up the coast? Or are we expecting more of these long-track kind of hurricanes coming out of Africa as we go forward in time? I mean, it looks to me that we do have a pretty good ridge over the Atlantic Ocean, lower levels. So I'm curious to see as to what you were leaning one way or another.
Yeah, during let me just back up to kind of just get the more general, put people in perspective. During June and July, that when you get a tropical storm or hurricane, it very likely forms from a disruption in the jet stream, a low-pressure center in the jet stream, or with a trailing frontal boundary. Now, that's June and July, and like I said, on average, typically you only see one or two storms during that period. During August, September, October, that's when this formation mechanism switches to these tropical cloud systems that come off the west coast of Africa. So they're no longer those systems are no longer being triggered by jets and frontal boundaries. Instead, they're triggered by cloud systems coming off of Africa. So it really is a completely different formation mechanism. And that's the latter mechanism you had mentioned. And that's what we expect for most of the activity during the peak months of the season. Every once in a while, you can get a storm spinning off of a front or something during this period, but the bulk of the activity would be from the tropical waves.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. Our next question comes from Mark Schleifstein with the Times-Picayune, the Morning Advocate. Your line is open.
Jerry, another question about global warming, climate change, and that is the amount of moisture in the atmosphere and whether you're able to work that into your long-term forecast in terms of what the concerns might be for the kinds of hurricanes that are created during this more active part of the season.
Well, for this hurricane outlook, we're not really looking at global warming as being a factor, and the reason is that these other climate factors, such as the El Niño, La Niña cycle, the multi-decadal signal, they completely dominate the record as far as hurricanes and major hurricanes go. Now, it's an important question you bring up, but it's more of a research question still that NOAA and other researchers around the country, modelers, are trying to better understand ways that maybe in a global warming environment it might influence individual storms, but those results are still, I think, in my opinion, still down the road. A lot of work still needs to be done on that. And also a lot of work needs to be done still on trying to figure out maybe what global warming impacts will have within varying phases of these, like these multi-decadal patterns that so prominently dominate the record. So those are very important questions. And just so it comes out, I'm not trying to poo-poo global warming at all. I mean, my gosh, the Atlantic, the oceans are warming up and all things like that. My answers are addressing the very narrow perspective of hurricanes now.
Our next question comes from Steve Inglesier with Weather Nation. Your line is open.
All right, good morning, Jerry. Thanks so much. You mentioned a 60% chance earlier in the season of El Nino continuing, and now it's kind of fading. Is there a new outlook through the fall months of what's most likely to happen? Thanks.
Yeah, NOAA's Climate Prediction Center just this morning issued its updated ENSO probability forecast, or said another way, the probabilities for El Nino, La Nina, and neutral through the rest of the year. And right now the forecast is for neutral, looks like 53% chance of neutral continuing through and into winter.
All right, thank you.
Our next question comes from Kim Miller with Palm Beach Post. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. So earlier in the season, the forecast was for a very weak El Nino, wasn't going to have a huge impact. So can you put into context kind of what this new forecast is, not for El Nino, but for the hurricane season, and how big of a change it is from the earlier forecast in terms of what is happening with El Nino?
Sure. The biggest change is that back in May, the computer models and all the guidance we had were indicating that El Nino was likely to continue through August, September, October. It obviously hasn't. And with that forecast for May, the models were indicating that, as we've seen, the El Nino would be producing stronger wind shear that would help to suppress the hurricane activity. It did produce the stronger shear. We're still seeing that. But now that it's faded, we expect that suppressing influence to weaken. And then the other more enhancing conditions that we're seeing farther in the eastern Atlantic would dominate, giving the increase, which is increasing the likelihood of an above normal season. I'm not sure I answered your question.
Well, it's just because I thought it was always supposed to be a weak El Nino anyway, so I didn't know how much influence it was going to have to begin with. A subtle influence or a big influence?
There was uncertainty back in May. The outlook in May reflected the possibility that we could get up to a moderate strength El Nino event. And if we did, as we discussed in the May outlook, a moderate strength event would certainly put the numbers toward the lower end of the predicted range. But there was uncertainty in that because some of the models were predicting, you know, just keeping the weak El Ninos continuing. So, again, there was uncertainty in May as to how much impact El Nino would have. And our ranges, again, reflected if El Nino did stick around and was stronger, we'd have activity near the lower end of the predicted range. If it wasn't much of an impact, we could have activity near the higher end of the predicted range. And that's why we give ranges, because there's none of these predictions are 100% certain. There's always uncertainty in because of model forecasts, just atmospheric conditions and so on. So we try and give our likely ranges to reflect the best range to reflect the most likely ranges of conditions we might expect.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. Our next question comes from Mark Terragrossa with MLVES. Your line is open.
Okay. Can you explain what you mean by your basic terminology in your forecast, normal, above normal, or below normal hurricane forecast? Is it numbers of hurricanes or strength, or how would we explain this to the public?
We actually have formal definitions of the overall season strength. They're based on the numbers of storms and also their combined intensity and duration. And, for instance, for an above-normal season, we expect above-normal numbers of named storms, above-average numbers of named storms and hurricanes. But also we have another measure of overall seasonal activity. It's in the outlook, but I didn't really address it t- today. It's called our ACE Index, Accumulated Cyclone Energy Index. And like I said, that's a measure of overall activity. It reflects this combined numbers, intensity, and duration of storms through the season. Very large, and then the season strengths or season classifications are based on that ACE Index combined with the numbers. To be more specific, if our ACE index is above 120% of the median and we have above average numbers of named storms, hurricanes, and major hurricanes, that would be considered an above normal season.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I show no further questions at this time.
Thank you so much. That concludes our press briefing for today. You can find the news release online at NOAA.gov, and if there are any additional questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, Lauren Gacious. I'm available by phone at 301-683-1327, and my additional contact information is available on the news release and the media advisory for today's call. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.